this and more, Expedition Through the Bible is a live talk show every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Heard right here on this station, David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. The number to call is 254-629-2622. That's 254-629-2622. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisandmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Well, but you can go to www.harrisandmoore.org, the easiest way to do it, and just follow the instructions and you will be you'll be listening to us live. We want to thank our additional sponsors, the Hamilton Church of Christ, the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, where Tom Moore preaches, is one of the sponsors. The Hillcrest Church of Christ here in Stephenville, Texas, is another one of our sponsors, but we have some additional sponsors. The Bangs Church of Christ, the De Leon Church of Christ, the Dublin Church of Christ, or that would be the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas. Also, we are being sponsored by the Rising Star Church in Rising Star, Texas, and also the 4th and Stewart Street Church of Christ in Brownwood, Texas. You're listening to the HPRN Network, and KATX is one of the affiliates there, and we are thrilled to death to be here. And we do want you to participate in this show, if you will. Once again, the number to call is 629-254-629-2621. Now, we have been considering several things in the past few weeks, and a lot of it had to do with the political climate of our nation right here in the middle of this election season. Tonight, what we want to do is talk about living in America and maintaining our spiritual commitment. It's a very, very difficult thing to do, isn't it, Terry?
It sure is.
We have so many things going on in this country. However, as many things as are wrong with this country, it's still the greatest country in the world, and we are blessed to live here. And living in America as a Christian has got to be the best thing on the face of this earth.
Amen.
And living here as a Christian, we need to understand that we have a commitment, don't we, Terry?
Yes.
And that commitment is a biblical commitment to Christ. And what is that commitment? Where can we find this commitment in our Bibles? The passage that we're looking for there in Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 34 is the commitment that each and every Christian has to our Lord. And what does it say there, Terry?
For when the Pharisees heard that he was silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, let's see, that's 22:34, Bubba.
It's 37.
All right, sorry about that. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment.
Okay, now that is our commitment, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. And if we love the Lord the way we ought to love the Lord, then we're going to do everything that he wants us to do, aren't we?
That's right.
Okay, so with this commitment that we have to our God, we also have a commission given out to us by our Lord, don't we?
We sure do.
Where can we find that commission?
Mark 16:15-16.
And what does that say?
Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them, or he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned.
Okay. That's our commission, to go and to preach the word of God. That sometimes is a very, very difficult thing to do. This is something that it's not for sissies.
No, it's sure not.
It is not for sissies because the world, as a general rule, does not want to hear what the Lord has to say. And yet, America, this land that we live in, probably needs the church and the word of God more right now than any time since the signing of the Declaration of Independence of the United States of America.
David, I believe with all my heart that right now we are, as a nation, are further from God than we ever have been since our existence.
Well, I don't doubt that for a moment. So, today what we're going to do, and Terry and I discussed this earlier, what we're going to do is we're going to go back into the Scriptures, and we're going to go and look at one of God's great prophets, a fellow by the name of Ezekiel, and we would encourage you to take your Bibles and to turn to Ezekiel chapter 2, because here we're going to find something that God tells Ezekiel to do that is very, very applicable to us today. Now, just a little bit of background information about Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a powerful, courageous preacher of the Word. He was a priest under the law of Moses because he belonged to the priestly order, and he was a prophet because he was called by God to be one. Now, Terry, Ezekiel, as we know it, was very, very highly influenced by another prophet of his day, Jeremiah, who was somewhat older, and he was highly influenced, no doubt, by hearing some of the stirring sermons at a very, very early age. And Jeremiah had an awful lot to do with the shaping of Ezekiel's career as a prophet. Now, what we want to do here today is to consider this great man and this preacher, Ezekiel, and the commission that God gave to him, Terry, and then we want to make the application to our lives right here as we live in this United States of America as Christians in America. If you will, Terry, would you read us the first three verses and the introduction to Ezekiel?
All right, starting in verse 1.
This is Ezekiel chapter 2.
Chapter 2. And he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. And he said to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day.
Okay, now the two very significant things there, Terry. In chapter 2 and verse 2, he says, the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. And this tells us about the inspiration
That's
of
right.
Ezekiel. So now God is speaking to the people through Ezekiel the prophet. And that's the definition of a prophet, isn't it?
That's right.
The mouthpiece of God, the definition of a prophet. So here we learn of his, first of all, we learn of his inspiration, but then we learn something very significant here. He says, I'm going to send you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation. They have rebelled against me. And so when we look at this, seeing that Ezekiel is being sent to a very rebellious nation, we need to understand that they're already in captivity. They're being punished right now because of their rebellion, and they still don't want to listen to God.
That's right.
And does that remind you of any other nation that you might be associated with here?
Unfortunately, it kind of hits home.
Yes, it does. It sure does. This nation of Israel desperately needed to repent. They're being punished, they're in captivity, and yet they're still rebellious. They needed to be warned, or else they were going to die in their sins. Now, that's not just something that we should take casual. If an individual dies in his sins, he cannot go to heaven.
That's right.
He can't go to heaven. So, in chapter 3, in verse number 18, we read right there, the Bible tells us, these are the words of God, that tells us what happens if a person doesn't repent. Terry, you got that passage?
When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, or speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand.
Now, this is kind of putting responsibility on two different people here.
Exactly.
Well, who are we talking about? Let's put this in layman's language here. What did God just get through telling Ezekiel?
Well, the man that was at fault, if he had sinned, or the rebellious man, he's going to be accountable for his sins. There's no
mm-hmm.
doubt about that. But we are going to be held accountable if we don't warn him and give him a chance to get out of those sins, to escape the wrath of God's punishment for rebellion.
So this is the responsibility of a priest and a prophet in the Old Testament.
That's right.
Any child of God today, and we're going to see this in just a minute, will have the same responsibilities in many senses that Ezekiel has here. in warning the people. Now, let's read God's commission. We read our commission just a moment ago, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. That is our commission under the New Testament. With Jesus Christ, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. Now, let's read Ezekiel's commission given to him by God himself.
Start in verse 4.
Start in verse 4.
For they are impudent and stubborn children. I'm sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words, though briars or thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words, or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you.
Okay. So this is the commission that is given to Ezekiel by God. Now, it sounds like he's talking to he is talking about a rebellious nation, and it sounds like he's talking about the nation that we live in.
Exactly.
You know, the nation that we live in, Terry, I believe we like to glorify the rebel.
Yes.
You ever notice that?
Yes, definitely. In the movies, even in music. Look at the way that the musicians, a lot of musicians, are pictured.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that seems to be the new fad of the day, be a rebel.
Yeah. Well, it's not even new.
No, it's not.
I mean, you know, even back when I was a kid, long time before I ever started watching television,
long time ago,
there was a fellow by the name of James Dean that was called the Rebel, and most of the young people wanted to be like James Dean, the Rebel. And you can see this rebellion in our young people today. Tattoos are a form of rebellion. Piercings are a form of rebellion. Young men walking around the streets with the pants hanging down around the knees, that's a form of rebellion, you know. And young ladies dressing so immodestly, it leaves very little to the imagination. All of these things are forms of rebellion, and by the general public, they're held in high regard because they dare to rebel against that which is right and that which is comfortable to a bunch of old folks.
I heard here pretty recently that the standard by which now we live our lives,
mm-hmm,
is called the new norm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back 30 years ago, David, whenever we were much younger, that wasn't normal. You didn't see people dressed like that. You didn't see people going around like that. And back then, they're saying that was normal. Now they're saying this is normal. So now who is it that's deciding this? What is normal?
Well, the standard, there is only one standard to go by in everything that we do, and the standard is set by God.
Exactly right.
And when we allow man or woman or generations to establish a standard, and Tom and I covered this for 2 weeks, who is the standard?
That's right.
What is the standard? It is God and God's Word. He is the standard of right. He's the standard of wrong. He is the standard of morality. He is the standard of immorality. And what is immoral?
And it is not public opinion.
No, it's not. It is not public opinion, and you can't put it to a vote.
No.
So we look here at the commission that was given to Ezekiel. We see that he was sent to a very, very rebellious people, and he was told that now, Ezekiel, whether they listen or whether they don't listen, they were to know that a prophet had been among them.
And when you look at verse 4, David,
mm-hmm,
notice what he said. You shall say to them, thus says the Lord God.
Right.
In other words, he said, don't leave any doubt that you represent me whenever you're speaking. That means you speak my words.
Right.
You don't need to change them. You don't need to add to them. You don't need to take away from them. You speak my words. You preach and teach my words to this rebellious people.
And you will never, ever be wrong.
Exactly right.
Never be
exactly
wrong. Okay, well, we look at this commission and we see two areas in which a man of God or a messenger of God, you might say, we see two areas where that messenger must excel if the people are to know that a prophet has been among them. Now, the two areas that we talked about there in that passage of Scripture, in that commission, number one, he must not be afraid, and number two, he's going to have to speak the truth whether they listen or whether they do not listen. And so let's look at the first area of excellence. But before we do, I want to remind everybody that's listening that this is a live call-in talk show, and you can call us at 254-629-2621 and leave a message there with Chloe. She will get it to us. We by the way, have coming an 800 number where we will be able to talk directly to you. But right now, until we get everything all set up, we are still running through the studio there at this number, 254-629-2621, or you can email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org. Now, the first area of excellence, Terry, a preacher of the truth must not be afraid or allow discouragement to keep him from proclaiming the truth. Can't be afraid. Now, this is something that no young preacher has been able to do with a whole lot of success, is to not be afraid.
Well, it shouldn't be this way, but it becomes this way, sometimes especially if you think your salary is dependent on what you preach. If you make the leaders upset at you and you're going to lose that paycheck, you may tend to soft soap and maybe hold back on preaching the truth if you are kind of like a mercenary in your preaching, and which is unfortunate. But it does affect the way sometimes preachers approach the pulpits.
And it shouldn't.
It should not. Exactly.
It should never, ever do it. But you are right that it does. So a preacher of the truth can't be afraid or allow discouragement to keep them from proclaiming the truth. Now, how does this apply to you and to me? We're talking about something that was going on 6,000 years ago. We're talking about something that God said to Ezekiel. So how does it pertain to us? Well, if you will look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, we're going to see how it pertains unto us, because there in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, in our New Testaments, you will find a description of every Christian today. Terry, have you got that passage of Scripture
sure
there? Read it to us, please.
For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Okay, the Christian is a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Every single Christian is part of the royal priesthood. Now, that's a description of every Christian today. If you profess to be a Christian, you've got a commitment to God. That commitment to God is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's your commitment. He gives us a commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. As part of the royal priesthood, it is our obligation to fulfill the commission. Terry?
Isn't it interesting that here, as we study Ezekiel himself was a priest.
Sure.
As well as a prophet. Well, we are a royal priesthood. That's our job, too. We have been commissioned, as Ezekiel was commissioned, as a preaching priest.
Mm-hmm.
And that commission, by the way, it's not just made to preachers. It wasn't just to the apostles. It was to every Christian.
Right.
That's the commission we all have. And we are a preaching or teaching priesthood.
Right. So we are priests. We are part of that royal priesthood. We're part of the royal mouthpiece of God, if you want to get down to Eastland County terminology.
I like it.
The royal mouthpiece of God. We teach, we preach, we do the work of a servant. Now, Ezekiel was told, do not be afraid and do not be discouraged by their words or their looks of agitation. Now, what about the looks of agitation that God's talking about here and warning him about? What about those looks, Terry?
Yeah, I'll answer either one. It is amazing. Sometimes, you know, your looks or the looks that you get says a lot more than any words you can speak. You can see the agitation. You can see the anger on a person's face, and sometimes they may not utter a word. Especially today, if you've ever watched the liberal media, you see that same kind of, anytime they start talking about some kind of a conservative approach, conservative person, you can almost read it on the faces besides the words. And it's that way when you're teaching or preaching something that someone doesn't want to hear. It's on their face. They don't want to hear it. And they can either tune you out or they may walk off or, you know, but it's on their face as much as it is in their words.
Well, these looks of agitation have caused many, many people to just clam up.
That's right.
You know, I mean, once you see that look, you know, I mean...
You back off.
You back off. You have a tendency to back off. Now God says, don't you do it.
Exactly.
Do not back off with my word. Now, Terry, there have been many, many spineless elders, spineless preachers, spineless teachers, and spineless Christians over the years that have withheld vital information for fear of what many may say or how they may react to what you say. They just clam up.
They're intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
They're intimidated by the truth. They're intimidated by anyone that will stand by the truth. While at the same time, a lot of these people, like you're talking about, the ones that may be preaching the truth, but when they see those looks, they're intimidated by those looks. And they'll back down.
Mm-hmm.
I know of congregations that the elders have told that preacher, you know, you can't be talking like that anymore. You can't be straightforward like that anymore because of the way that you're going to be perceived or received through this congregation. And that's you talk about that spinelessness. There it is.
Yeah, and it's every unfaithful congregation in the world is all about spineless elders.
Exactly.
You know, if a preacher is spineless, he ought not to ever be hired.
Exactly.
If the elders are spineless, they should never qualify for the job. Because they will cause the preacher to be something that God would not have him to be. Now, this is a live call-in talk show if you want to get in on this conversation. 254-629-2621 or email us a question at questions@harrisonmoore.org. So Ezekiel was told not to be afraid, not to be discouraged by the words or their looks. And this rebellious people that we're talking about, that he's talking to or trying to talk to, you know, they show their hatred toward God's word by the persecution of those who proclaim it. You ever notice that?
Yes.
They don't want to say, I hate God. They don't want to say, I hate the Bible. Well, they want to say, Terry, I hate your guts for preaching the truth.
They want to kill the messenger.
They kill the messenger, yes, indeed. Well, now here we find this Ezekiel, the one that is receiving all of the wrath of the people, not only their looks, but their words and the persecutions that these guys are having to go through. So these rebellious people, they show their hatred to God. They don't want to come out and publicly say, I hate you, God, I don't ever hear your words again. No, they want to go up and hate the preacher.
Exactly.
They hate the messenger. And they persecute those who proclaim it. Now, remember when Ezekiel was sent, remember how many times God used that word, rebellious people. Rebellious people. He warned him over and over and over. Get your pistol loaded. Not literally, figuratively. But he's saying, these are a rebellious people, Ezekiel. In other words, when you get over there into Babylon, you're not going to be able to go down there by the River Kibar and hang a shingle on the tree and say, if you want to know the truth, come and see me and I'll
be open for business.
Yeah, that will never work. He's going to have to go to those people with the truth.
And notice, God tells him beforehand, they're not going to listen.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't relieve him of his responsibility. You go anyway. They're
right.
Not going to hear it. They're rebellious people. They're obstinate, stubborn people. But your job, your commission to go.
Right. Now, we today can expect the same kind of response in many instances, as did Ezekiel. The looks of intimidation, the words of intimidation, the threats of persecution. We can expect this today. As a matter of fact, Paul the Apostle told Timothy the same thing in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 8. He says, "Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Be ready to get persecuted, Timothy, because it's coming. It's not a matter of if it's going to happen, it's a matter of when it's going to happen. That's going to come. And everything as we see thus far concerning Ezekiel is not a rosy situation. I mean, you talk about, you ask the general public, well, you know, what does a preacher do? Oh, he doesn't ever have a callus on his hands. He doesn't ever do anything. He's nothing. You've got to be a courageous individual to be a gospel preacher with God's word, because there are a lot of people that don't want to hear that.
I was taught at Preston Road many, many, many years ago.
Amen.
that we were to have a skin of a rhinoceros, real tough hide.
Mm-hmm. And that's sometimes, even if you have the skin, it doesn't make it comfortable.
Sure.
It makes it a very, very uncomfortable thing sometimes. Well, just like God told Ezekiel, the faithful preacher today has got to expect to find the briars and the thorns and the scorpions in his path. You remember that's what was part of that.
Right.
As a matter of fact, we can read it again there. He says in verse 5 of chapter 2, I believe it is, he says, "Yet you shall know that a prophet has been among them, and you, son of man, be not afraid of them, and neither be afraid of their words, even though briars and thorns be with you, and you do dwell among scorpions." Of course, those are figures of speech, but we get the idea. It paints a pretty colorful picture.
It sure does.
And so the preacher today, he's got to expect to find some briars and some thorns in his side and scorpions in his path. But the admonition by God is, be not afraid. God wanted Ezekiel then, and he wants you and I today to put our trust in God our Father. That's one thing.
Amen.
That we may not ever let down our guard over that. We just cannot do it. Now, Terry, I've got a story that was told to me by some preachers that went to the Southwest School of Preaching down in Austin, Texas, when there was a fellow there, one of the teachers there was named Roy Deaver, and it is quite a story about being afraid and learning not to be afraid because God the Father is there with us. And so we're going to take this break, but before we take it, let me remind you again, the number to call is 254-629-2621, or you can email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org, and we would love to have your input into what we're talking about. We're going to see you on the other side of the break. Chloe, it's all yours.
They thought that Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float with some water in its bulkhead. They thought that 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship struck an iceberg, there was no cause for alarm. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoying the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, "Those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God," Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the DeLeon Church of Christ in DeLeon, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HBR network or any of its agents.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and here with my good friend and fill-in for Tom Moore today, Terry Jackson, the gospel preacher at the Rising Star Church of Christ. And we're thankful that Terry's always willing and always very capable of filling in for either one of us, and we're so thankful that we can rely on Terry to do this for us. You just heard some of the ads that run during our break here concerning our additional sponsors, but Rising Star has not only been a good sponsor monetarily, they also help us out with manpower as well. We have always wanted to mention our motto. You have heard what men have had to say, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. And today what we're looking at is, and we're looking at one of the commissions, a great commission given to a great preacher, and the preacher's name is Ezekiel, a prophet also of God, and he was given a great commission. He was sent out to a very rebellious people, and the reason that we chose this topic and this preacher and this prophet at this time is because it resembles so much what Christians are having to do today as we teach and as we preach the Word of God out in the world. We also are walking into a very rebellious people that many times they don't want to hear the Word of God, but it doesn't make any difference. The commission that was given, and Terry, if you've got that again, would you read that commission for us? I believe it's right here. You've got it. Thank you. The commission, Ezekiel chapter 2, if you will take that and go from verse 5 to verse 7 and just read that commission for us there again, the one that God gave Ezekiel, and let's just make the application one more time.
As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words, though briars or thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words, or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious.
Okay, now that was the commission that was given by God to Ezekiel. Now, we had a caller during the break. Called, and Chloe took the call for us, and the caller wanted us to cover two passages of Scripture that we find in our Bibles. One is found in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, and the other one is found in Deuteronomy 22, verses 18 and 19, and he wanted us to discuss these in light of the commission that is given here to Ezekiel, and also the commission that is given to us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and verse number 2, I've got that one, and I'll read it. And then, if you will, Terry, turn to the passage in Revelation 22, and we'll see that the principle of righteousness that is set forth by God in the Old Testament, that same principle of righteousness is brought forth into the New Testament for every professed Christian to abide by. Now here is the command that God through Moses gives the Israelites before they ever cross the Jordan River to go into the Promised Land. He says, "You shall not add to the word that I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Now, Terry, there were no mumbling or stuttering in that.
Not a bit.
There is no way that you can misunderstand what he said.
No.
He does not want us to change not one little letter of his command.
And the other thing, he does not want us to be ashamed of what is written. He does not want us to be ashamed of the truth.
True.
I think that's what has gotten man in a lot of trouble. That's part of that rebate. They were ashamed of that truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting. You got these bookends. The very first part of course, the law, he says, look, you don't add to or take away. Now, how does he close the book of Revelation?
Same way. It's the principle of righteousness. Have you got that part
there?
The same principle of righteousness that we read here, we also find for every professed Christian today.
For I testify, everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of this book, of the prophecy, God shall take away his part for the book of life, from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book.
Well, now, those questions, or that question for us to address, Deuteronomy 4 and 2 and Revelation 22, those came from Hamilton. It was, I believe she said his name was Johnny. We want to thank this individual from Hamilton that sent us these questions, because these are very pertinent things for us to know. We do not have the right to change God's word, and God made it very clear to Ezekiel when he sent him out there with this commission. Now, we in the last segment, we got very specific about how you cannot be afraid. You just cannot be afraid. And that's what God told Ezekiel over and over again. Do not be afraid of these people, even though they're rebellious. Now, God wanted Ezekiel then, and he wants you and I today to put our trust in God the Father. Now, if we do our part, Terry, then we, just like Ezekiel, we're going to be delivered from all of their evil devices. We just cannot be afraid.
Now, David, I want you to tell me that story. You had thought you had started it before the break, and you said you was going to get to it.
Okay.
I think that the story that you're about to tell really depicts exactly the way it is with God our Father.
I think you're absolutely right. Now, Roy Deaver was the teacher to all these students, and Roy Deaver grew up over in deep, dark East Texas, back where the piney wood trees get so tall you can't see the moon at night. And Roy told this story when he was about 6, 7, 8 years old, somewhere along in there. His daddy and his brothers and his uncles were working out in the fields, and they wouldn't let him go because he was too young. But they did. His father gave him a job. There were 2 buckets on the back porch, and he said, "I want these 2 buckets filled up every night when we come in so we can wash up and we won't get Mama's kitchen dirty." And so every day Roy went down there and he filled up those 2 buckets. He walked down a little narrow path down there and got the water, and he came back and he had it there on the porch. And one day they came in from the fields, and Roy heard this booming voice coming through the screen. It said, "Roy." And he came a running and he said, "Yes, Daddy." And he said, why isn't there any water in these 2 buckets?" And Roy said, "Oh, Daddy, I'm sorry. I was playing, and I forgot all about it." He said, "Well, you know what your job is. You're going down there to that creek and get the water." And Roy said, "It was already dark." And he stepped out of that screen and grabbed those buckets and started down there to the edge of the woods where that path got very, very narrow. And all he could think about was he had seen copperheads down that pathway during the daytime. And every morning when he went down there, he'd have to knock down those spider webs that had spun from one tree to the other and covered up that path. But he could see them in the daytime. And then when he dipped that water out of that creek, occasionally he could see those copperheads swimming around out there in those creeks. And he was afraid. He had tears running down his face. And about the time he got to the edge of the of the brush there, he heard his daddy holler. He said, "Roy," he said, "wait up, and I'll go with you." And he says, instantly, I wasn't afraid anymore. He said, it wasn't that the copperheads were gone. It wasn't that the spider webs were gone. It wasn't that narrow trail that led down there to the creek. It wasn't the fact that the water moccasins were gone. It was the fact that my father was going to be with me, and all fear left me. And do you realize that the Great Commission that you read just a moment ago, the commission that God gives to us, go ye therefore and teach all nations, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And watch this last verse. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
How many times does God call a prophet in the Old Testament? And he gives them this tough assignment, just like he's done Ezekiel. But every time he says, all right, this is what I want you to do. And he gives them the bad news. He says, it's not going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
But then what does he promise? But I'm going to be with you.
I'm going to be with you.
If you do what's right, God's with us.
Right. And this is part of that great commission that he gives us. Yeah, I'm going to send you out there to a rebellious nation. But don't you be afraid. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, something that we can bank on. That is something that we can rely on. And it's just, he's saying, Terry, don't you be afraid. Go on. I'm with you.
That's right.
Go on, Terry.
That's right.
Just don't look back. I'm with you. I got you back. I got you back here. So this story kind of, as you mentioned, it emphasizes the fact that there is really no need to fear if we are armed with God and with his word. Who can hurt us?
That's right.
Who can hurt us? But, you know, even Jeremiah toyed with the idea of not preaching God's word, didn't he?
He did. And, you know, he had been thrown in a pit, kind of we might would call it a dungeon. And yet from the bottom of that pit, he made up his mind. He says, this is it. You know, Jeremiah 20, verse 9, I'm not going to speak any longer in his name. Look at what it's got me. It's got me into trouble. You know, the king doesn't like me. The people don't like me. They throw me in this pit. I don't have to do this anymore. But I love what happened. I love what Jeremiah said. I love Jeremiah's attitude.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but then that word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. He said, I was weary at forbearing, and I couldn't stay. That word, the word of God, was in him and on fire. So bad that he couldn't fight it. He tried to fight it.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to swallow it down, but he couldn't do it. And in fact, it got worse. He said, I just wore myself out trying to fight it and realized I've got to preach. And
right.
That's what he did. He came out of that pit and he preached.
Well, as Christians, we look at that very same situation today. Like Jeremiah said, okay, I'm done. I'm not going to do this anymore. I mean, I'm trying to do what God told me to do, and look what's happening to me here. We all have experienced that a time or two.
Sure.
But the problem is we cannot withhold the life-giving words of God, words that will save souls. We can't withhold those words. We don't have the right to withhold those words. In America, in this United States of America, no one will ever know that a Christian has been among them unless we proclaim the truth.
Exactly right.
If we don't proclaim the truth, then who's going to do it?
That's right.
We can't sit back and wait for the Muslims to come up here and proclaim the truth. They don't have the truth. We can't expect the denominational world to throw the truth out there. They don't like the truth. We are living in a place that expects, where God expects us to get out and boldly proclaim the truth that will save the souls of countless millions of people, and we are clamming up.
That's right.
One of the reasons that we're in such a mess that we're in today is because we are not speaking when we ought to be speaking. Now, that was the first area of excellence. Do not be afraid. The second area of excellence in that commission that God gave Ezekiel was that the people were going to have to, so that they would know that he was there, he was going to have to speak to them whether they listened to him or whether they didn't. I mean, it didn't make any difference if they weren't listening. He still had to preach the word.
That's right.
And we run into this a lot today. People don't want to hear. And, you know, we don't just shout it at them anyway, but we make it available for them so that they can hear. But he says, I want you to speak this word of truth whether they hear it or whether they don't hear it. Verse number 7, he says, and you shall speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. Again, it sounds just like the United States of America and the defying of the authority of God.
Yes, it does.
It does. So the message can't change. He says, you shall speak my words to them. Now, this gets back to the caller just a moment ago that wanted us to address Deuteronomy chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 22. The message from God's lips cannot change. It's got to be his words. It's got to be his message. We cannot alter it. We do not have the right to alter it. No one does.
Isn't it amazing? And think about this. Now, there's a pretty sobering passage in Galatians, the first chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Though we are an angel from heaven, preaching of the gospel, and that which you've received, let him be accursed.
Mm-hmm.
God has given us exactly what he wants us to say. We will be held accountable for exactly what he's given us. And therefore, you know, even he said, even if an angel was preaching of the gospel, don't listen to that angel, because that angel himself, he just brought a curse upon himself. If any man preach any other gospel than what you've received, that inspired word of God which has come to us, any other individual preach that word, he will be anathema. He'll be cursed. Now, David, I don't know about you, but as a preacher, that kind of concerns me a little bit, because
sure it does.
That puts some accountability on our shoulders. That
mm-hmm.
one of these days in the judgment, we're going to stand there and be judged for what we teach and what we preach.
Well, yeah, and you know, something very, very significant there. Not even an angel from heaven
exactly
has the right to change the word of God, and so. This is very specific. We can't change the word, and now we've got to preach it whether they listen or whether they don't listen. Do you know the charge in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the charge that was given to Timothy by Paul the Apostle through the Holy Spirit? Can you quote that off the top of your head there, Terry?
Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Then he goes on to say, for the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but shall heap themselves teachers having itching ears.
And so what he's telling Ezekiel then is still applicable today. You preach it whether they listen to you or whether they don't. You preach it when they like it. You preach it when they don't like it. You afflict the comfortable and you comfort the afflicted. That's what preaching does.
Exactly. One of the years ago, whenever I was pretty young, there's a preacher by the name of Marshall Keeble.
Mm-hmm.
And I was privileged to have heard Brother Keeble maybe once.
Well, you are old.
Oh, yeah, I am, brother. And Brother Keeble, he quoted that passage. And of course, he had a preaching, his own preaching school there in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was part of that study that they had, the curriculum. But he was talking about 2 Timothy, chapter 4. And this is his interpretation of it, and it's always stuck with me. He said, you preach the word whether they want to hear it or whether they don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Preach the word. Be ready to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And he said, you know, this is the call. This is the commission that we as preachers have.
Exactly. So if it's a preacher's commission, it's every Christian's commission. We can't just sit back in the pew and say, well, I'll let my preacher do it. No, you see, we as professed Christians, we accept the commitment to love God, and then we accept the commission, which is to go out and serve God. That is what we accept as Christians, and we are obligated as Christians to do this, just as obligated as a Christian as Ezekiel was as a prophet. And as a priest, by the way, we are still part of that royal priesthood. So I want us to look now at the tremendous responsibility that belongs to a teacher. Now, here we find it again in this chapter 3 of the book of Ezekiel. If you'll read that for us, Terry, beginning there of verses 16 through 21, we have the tremendous responsibility that belongs to the teacher.
Now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning. Also you will have delivered your soul.
Well, now, this is a principle of righteousness here regarding the responsibility of a teacher. And the principle that God sets forth here in this verse, or these verses to Ezekiel, is the very same that the Lord has always maintained. This is God's principle of righteousness. We're going to have to give an answer for what we don't say.
That's right.
And a lot of people don't get that. Well, I do this, I do this, I do this. Yeah, but what have you done about getting God's word out there to save somebody? So, well, I'm waiting for the preacher to do that.
Yeah, that's what we pay him for.
Exactly. And so we see here, this is God's principle of righteousness, just as applicable to Ezekiel then as it did to every member of the royal priesthood, and every Christian is there. Ezekiel was to tell the people what they needed to hear, not what they wanted to hear. And this is one of the problems that we have today. We have preachers out there and people that profess to be Christians out there that are telling people what they want to hear and not what they need to hear in order to fix their lives so that they can save their soul in an everlasting heaven.
In the we looked at a while ago, 2 Timothy 4, what did Paul say? They're ear ticklers.
Mm-hmm.
They tickle the ears.
Right.
And one of the things that I have to think about, and you think about it all the time, I know as we prepare for our lessons or in our ministries, in James chapter 3, verse 1, you know, as a teacher of God's Word, we will receive stricter judgment, a more harsh commendation or condemnation if we don't preach the truth, because that's our responsibility.
Sure it is.
Now, it is for everyone, indeed. Everybody mm-hmm. has got mm-hmm. that responsibility and will be accountable for it. But if I am out here dealing with people and talking to people, you know, I hear people talk about some of these guys, some of these liberals in the liberal rank. Well, they're not hurting. At least they're making people feel better about their religion, and they're making people think about their religion a little bit more, even if they are preaching and teaching error. David, if they're preaching or teaching error, they're sending folks to hell.
Exactly.
How can we, you know, and they're going to give answer for it.
Sure they are.
And,
but they're going to take somebody with them.
And that, to me, is what we're talking about. That's what's scaring me. That's exactly, when you go back to Ezekiel, that's what God is warning Ezekiel.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and even though it's going to be difficult, and I have seen people want to water down God's truth because it makes people feel more comfortable. God is not worried about our physical comfort as much as he is about our spiritual salvation.
Exactly.
And he wants us to be saved. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. He wants everyone to be saved. He sent his only begotten Son here on this earth so that we could be saved, so that we'd have the opportunity to be saved. But people can't be saved through error. They can only be saved through truth. And this is the reason that God told Ezekiel, you preach the word that I give you.
Exactly. You know, David, I want to tell you one other thing that I've thought about on the way down here. I was thinking about the lesson as we were
mm-hmm.
going to be presented tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about, you know, if every person, every Christian, were to close the Bible for the last time and say, no more, It's the truth anymore. David, does that change the truth?
No.
Well, you know, will it affect judgment in any form or fashion?
No.
We're all going to be held accountable. God's truth will remain, whether I preach it or you preach it or not. The difference is, if I don't preach it, if I don't preach the truth, if I don't warn the people as a Christian, I will be held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it doesn't change. The truth does not change.
Right. Now, we're getting close to the end of this, and I want to remind the public here, the listeners especially, want to thank each and every one of you. We want to thank our caller in from Hamilton that added to this program. But we need to remember one thing, Terry. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, we need to remember that we plant, we water, it is God that gives the increase. But we've got the plant.
Exactly.
We've got the water. God can't give the increase if we don't plant the seed. And this is the way that he designed it to be. And for this reason, we must get out there and preach that word, whether they listen or whether they don't.
That's right.
Now, one of the things that people truly need to do in order to become a Christian is obey the gospel plan of salvation. You can't expect God to save you if you want to reject his word concerning his plan on how to be saved. And so as we very quickly go through God's plan, it's very simple. It's told us in the Bible we need to hear the word of God and believe it, because without belief it is impossible to save him, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. What do we got to do then?
You got to confess. You got to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, Romans 10. With the mouth, confession is made. And if without that confession and acknowledgement, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you look at the letter of John, 1 John. What is John talking about? He's talking about that Jesus Christ is our advocate, and,
mm-hmm.
and he is our Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, we have to confess that.
Right. Not only do we have to confess, we not only just believing won't get us there, just confessing the sweet name of Jesus won't get there, we've also got to repent. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, we're told, except you repent, Jesus himself, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. But that still is not all that God demands of his children, is it?
No, we've got to do just like those on the day of Pentecost,
mm-hmm.
Acts 2:38, they heard the truth, they were pricked in the heart. Still not enough. They'd heard it. They believed. They were even confessed. They knew, but they knew that there's something else. They said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Without baptism, there's no remission of sins.
Thank you for tuning in for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 254-629-2622. The number again, 254-629-2622. Or email your questions to questions@harrisandmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore, Expedition Through the Bible. Heard every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. on this radio station and the HPR network.